The topic that we have this morning is trials and temptations. We are in the Lenten season. During Lent, the first Sunday, we normally meditate on the temptations of our Lord Jesus. In a seminary class, the seminary professor asked this question to his students. Read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and tell me what strikes most about this passage. What strikes most about this passage? Read thoroughly 1 to 11 and tell me, what do you like in it, or what comes to you powerfully? The students read, and they came back with their answers. 40 days and 40 nights of Jesus fasting is 40 years of wilderness journey. And at the end, they entered the promised land. So Jesus now, after 40 days of fasting, coming out and introducing the kingdom of God to us. That's one person's statement. Another person said, 40 days and 40 nights Moses took fasting on the mount, and at the end they received the 10 commandments. Probably that's what I see from this passage. Another one said, 40 days Elijah traveled in the wilderness seeking for answers. At the end, God spoke to him in the sheer silence. 40 days of struggle. In fact, he was running away from Jezebel and with frustration. At the end, God spoke to him. And they also said, 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasted. At the end, he was famished. That shows Jesus was truly human. These were the answers given by the seminary students. But the professor was not happy with any one of them. And he said, what I find most interesting is that devil knows scripture. What I find most interesting in this passage is that devil knows scripture. Now the question comes to us, do we know scripture? Do we know scripture? It is written. It is given. It is available. Do you read the scripture? When I was growing up, our parents every morning asked this question, have you read the Bible? Have you read the Bible today? Even our pastors would come to us and ask this question, did you read Bible? Have you read the Bible today? The churches come up with programs saying that we have to finish reading the entire Bible in a year. Do we know the scripture? It is available. It is very much present with us. In fact, this year we have taken a Bible verse, that is a Bible verse for the year. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance to what is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. This is taken from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. That's our words for the year. How much are we giving importance to the written word of God? Temptations are real. Satan is real. All of us face temptation. No one can say that I have never been tempted. Can anyone say that I've never been tempted? No. We all face temptation. Temptation comes to us very, very powerfully. Now, Adam and Eve yielded to the temptation. They simply failed. But the second Adam, our Lord Jesus, won the temptations. And he set the example for all of us to follow. First Adam failed, but the second Adam won the battle and he set the model. We cannot blame too much on Adam and Eve. They did not have a lot of support, but now we have the scriptures with us, the written word of God, Jesus' model before us. The Holy Spirit dwell in us, in guiding us, and we can win temptation. We don't need to yield to temptation. What is temptation? What do we mean by temptation? We are created in the image of God. All of us are created in the image of God. And through Jesus, we are all saved and we have been made as the children of God. Satan doesn't like that at all. So he wants to disturb the relationship that we enjoy with our Lord. He comes up with the plans so that we fall short and we disturb that relationship. He wants to see that the image of God that is in us is corrupted. And he comes with the intention, a very intensive intention, to make us fall. That's temptation. But when it comes to trials, God is testing us. God tested Abraham about his faith. The intention is to make us grow. The intention is to see that we grow stage by stage and we are deeply rooted in our faith in Jesus. Now, three temptations Jesus faced. We will look at all three of them very quickly. The first temptation, Satan came and said, "Why don't you turn these stones into bread and eat? You are in the wilderness. You have just completed your 40 days of fasting, and it is time to eat. Eat now. Why you have to wait? You are in the wilderness. To go to the shop may take some time. Your fasting is over. It's the right time to eat." You know, if Satan did not come on the third, if he had come on 30th day and asking Jesus to eat, we understand that. Or even on the 39th day, he came to Jesus and said, "Eat." We understand that. He came on after he completed his fasting. So it's a genuine thing, right? It appears that Satan has got a wonderful plan. Why this is the time you should be eating? It appears that good. You know, he's not saying something which is not at all seen in the Bible, because 40 years God fed them manna. Something fell from heaven. Yes. And Elijah was fed by a crow. Yes, that also we see in the Bible. Not only that, Jesus turned water into wine. Yes, that has happened. And not only that, Jesus blessed 5 loaves and 2 fish and 5,000 people ate. All this is possible. So what Satan says seemed to be all right. There is absolutely no problem. You know, Satan comes with confusion. He presents to us confusion so that we are disturbed. What Satan is telling Jesus is, now is the time. You have waited 40 days for this moment. This moment is a precious moment. You cannot afford to miss this moment. Your physical need is the top priority now. Forget about you being the Son of God. Forget about all that you are. Now, your physical need is the top priority. Forget everything. In other words, he's saying that you are living in this world exclusively to satisfy your human need. Nothing else is important. We will catch up that later. Is not Satan coming up with that kind of a plan to us? Your physical needs are the top priority. And he is also coming up with various other ideas. He is saying that you are the Son of God. The benefit of you being the Son of God should go to you first. It should not go to anybody else. It should go first. But if you read the scriptures, you would notice that Jesus was always moved with passion. His actions are on the basis of his love for his people, not for selfish reasons. He was never motivated for his desires. No, he always acted in the love of others. Another thing he is also saying, that you have come to save this world. I give you an idea. The problem of this world is hunger. You have come to save the world. I'm giving you an idea. You can turn these stones into bread, and that's the way you are going to satisfy the hunger of the people. What a brilliant idea. Okay, if Jesus is going to feed people like that, will that solve the problem? The problem in this world is not hunger. It's not at all. The problem in this world is people have forgotten God. The problem in this world is that we have gone away from God. And Satan comes with the right point, saying that you don't need God at this moment. Turn the stones and eat. I think to make this point easier, I want to bring an illustration. But this illustration has got some kind of a problem. I hope you will understand. If you think that it is not appropriate, forgive me. But this illustration is said in a Christian context. A man was flying. While he was sitting on his seat, he turned to the next seat and he saw a beautiful girl sitting. He was drawn to her. He was very attracted to her. So he talked to her, and he said, I don't know who you are, but I'm certainly attracted to you. But if you spend one night with me, I will give you $1 million. I'll give you $1 million if you spend one night with me. This girl got furious. She got very, very angry. What do you think about me? I'm having a high moral life, and I cannot do all that. What kind of how you can ask this to me? So he kept silent. She was also silent. After some time, he looked at her and said, "Look, it's $1 million." She again got angry, and they were silent. After some more time, this girl turned to him and said, "Is it $1 million? And he said, "Yes, yes, it is $1 million. Is it for only one time?" "Yeah, yeah, it is for only one time." Then said, "Okay, if that is the case, we can make a deal. Okay, at the end of our travel, we will sit in a coffee shop and we will work out the plan." So at the end of their travel, they went to a coffee shop, they sat, and they talked about which day and where and all that. After the end of the conversation, she was about to leave, and he said, no, before you leave, I have something to say. He looked at her and said, "Look, I don't have $1 million. Can we make it for $100? Now she was furious, she was shouting, she was screaming, and he looked at her calmly and said, "I knew who you are the moment you accepted my offer. I know who you are the moment you accepted my offer." Satan does that with us. We have a wonderful relationship with God. He wants to disturb it. He wants to, the dignity that we have, the respect that we have, he disturbs it. That's the temptation he comes before you. Is God your priority? When we move away from that, we lose our dignity and respect. When we talk about what God is our priority, is God your priority? Okay, some tangible things. When you sit before your meal, do you say the prayer before you eat? When you begin the day, do you give God the priority? When you take decisions in your life, do you pray to God? Do you read scriptures every day? Is God your center of your life? That's the first temptation, and it is about confusion. Satan is here in this world to bring all confusion so that we fall short. Secondly, Satan quoted scripture, because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God. Jesus since used the scripture. He came back quoting scripture. He quoted from Psalm 91 and said, of course, he made Jesus stand on the pinnacle of the temple, which is way high, and Jerusalem is on a mount, and this temple is also very tall, and if he falls from there, certainly death is guaranteed. So Satan is saying to Jesus, I know that no harm will happen to you. Scripture gives you that guarantee. Angels will come and bear you up on their hands. So that should not be any problem. Why don't you fall? What Satan is saying here is presumption. He wants Jesus to presume and act. Now, there are certain things coming up. Is God with you? Is his word true? Don't you need to check? Does God exist among us? Do we experience God? See, these are all the questions he is asking. A kind of a doubt he creates in us so that we may fall to him. You know, we know that God exists. We know that he is present in our lives. How do we know? Because the scripture says, Jesus says, I am with you till the end of the age. I have to simply believe. And I have to walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't go by sight. We go by faith. Our journey is a faith journey. How can we want to test? We can allow God to come and test us. But we shouldn't be testing God. That's the reason Jesus looked at him and said, do not test the Lord your God. We have no right. You know, when you were as a student or when I was a student, we normally test our teacher whether he is knowledgeable or she is knowledgeable. That's not the game allowed here, because he is supreme. He is unknowable, in fact. He is the one who knows the names of every, he named every star. Such a great God. And he is knowing everything that is happening in our lives. Every minute, every second, he knows what is happening in our lives. We have to allow him to test us, not we should test him. Now, Satan is also giving some idea to Jesus. People are attracted to sensationalism. Now you have come to save this world. If you jump from there and nothing will happen to you, people will come and stand in line to follow you. Many people will come and follow you. Easily you can win over the people. That's another idea he gave. In fact, if Jesus started doing this, will he be able to attract people? Will he be able to keep people with himself? No, not at all. People will never be satisfied with one particular act. They are going to ask some more, some more, some more. Satan is asking Jesus to presume, it's a presumption. And that's how he wanted Jesus to be tempted. But Jesus very beautifully came out of it. He used only scripture. Someone said, I think I said it before in one of my sermons, if you cut Jesus into half, he will bleed scriptures. He was filled with scripture, and that we see. We don't see anything else coming out of his mouth, only speaking the scriptures. He is the word of God. Now, confusion, presumption, and thirdly, he is coming up with another idea. He shows the entire world, all the kingdoms, and he said, everything is with me. Everything is with me. I run this world by war, violence, poverty, corruption, sex trafficking, exploiting the earth. This is how I run the world. And everything is in my hand. I'm going to give you. You have to only bow before me. We both join together and run the world. You bring your kingdom, I bring my kingdom, and we will join together. We will be running it, but you should bow before me. I will be the king. Very nicely put it. In fact, he is wanting to compromise. He is wanting Jesus to compromise with him. That is not possible at all, because Jesus has brought his kingdom, which is straight away opposite to the kingdoms of this world. Straight away. It is just opposite. You cannot bring both together. And Satan is further giving idea. He is giving the idea that why you have to go through pain, suffering, hard work, cross, shame, sacrifice, all that is not needed. Just bow before me. Just compromise with me. And things will be all right. Everything will be easy. Everything will be on your plate. Don't Satan come to us with that kind of an idea? No need of hard work. Shortcut methods are available. And Jesus very beautifully said, get behind me, Satan. Worship the Lord your God. No other one I will bow. As we come to the end, three things we look at powerfully from these temptations. Yes, first is priority. He confuses it in this world. And second is presumption. Third is ambition, but that ambition is through compromise. Now, we can win over Satan. We don't need to yield to temptation. Small temptations come on our way. Every day we face temptations. It's not that once in a while it comes. No, every day we face temptations. This little victory that you have over those temptations make you strong. The moment we yield to temptation, we become weak and fragile. So we have to be well versed with the scripture, and with the help of God, we have to win over this temptation on a daily basis, on a regular basis. Then we can keep on growing in the in our faith. I'll just finish with this illustration. Two policemen were walking in the night for their patrolling. As they were walking, they saw a man searching something under the street light. He was going around and searching for something. So the policemen came to him and they thought, okay, let's also search. They asked him, what are you searching? He said, I lost the coin. Okay, let's search. So they were also making 2-3 rounds and they came to him and asked, where did you drop your coin? He said, I dropped it up there. Then they asked him, why are you searching here? I'm searching here because the light is available here. The scripture is here, but we are searching answers somewhere else. Let us pray like this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from confusion, presumption, and compromise. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen.